working to rule. And what that means is that we're leaving the work site when our hours end. And, of course, we're meeting all our obligations professionally. If we've made commitments to students or to families or the school system about voluntary activities like commencements, we keep them. And then, at the same time, we're saying future activities that are voluntary, we can't commit to at this time.
What are some of the activities or projects that the teachers are not committing to? In other words, what's the effectiveness of this?
They would be voluntary, uncompensated things that occur really in the fall is what we're talking about. But things like back-to-school nights and dances, clubs that aren't provided with a stipend, those things, if we're not unable to reach an agreement by the fall, those are the things that would be affected. Right now, there's very little that we haven't already committed to, and we're, like I said, meeting all our professional responsibilities. So as school ends, families probably won't see a big effect.
What about after-school questions as papers are due in these final few days and things like that?
The most teacher work days end about 30 minutes after the student day. Students still have time to ask questions of their teachers, and very few students hang around, too, after the buses leave. But like I said, we honor our commitment to students and families. We're certainly not shutting the door on any of that stuff.
What is the source of the problem here?
Contract negotiations, John. We're in a contentious atmosphere, and we're working really hard for an agreement that addresses some of our main concerns, like planning time and the ability to collaborate with our paraprofessional support staff and access to technology for that same support staff. Right now, 2014 Howard County Schools, computers aren't provided to support professionals, and they're not provided any time during their work day to access computers. So I've actually got a letter here from a para where she writes, "I'm asked every day to type something for teachers. I help students research. I send emails to parents about money due for field trips." And this person is doing that off hours because she can't get on a computer during her workday.
What about pay raises?
What we're looking for there is a package that would be comparable to what Howard County's already done with police and firefighters.
And what is being offered and what is on the table at this point?
At this point, the school system is delaying a scheduled step increase that would come to teachers in August when they start back, but the school system proposes that be delayed until March, and thus only 25% of that scheduled increase would ever make it to the pocket of an educator. And like I said, what we're hoping for is that the school system brings that on day one, as is our history, and any other improvements be parallel to what police and firefighters have negotiated in Howard.
Now, Superintendent Foose told me that they're offering between 3% and 9% and on a one-year deal. Is that acceptable?
That's not true, John. Our numbers show a 3% cost of living adjustment in July, and a scheduled step increase in March. And we've been publicizing those numbers on our website. You can see it. It's www.hceanea.org. And that's, first of all, scheduled step increases aren't raises. If I told you, hey, in year one you would make $40,000, and in year two, $45,000, and in year three, $50,000, and you had agreed to that, it would be disingenuous of me to say you got a raise when those numbers remain unchanged.
I don't know if I follow you there. If you're making 40 one year and 45 the other year, you're getting an increase in salary. Is that semantics here?
No, it isn't. When you make an agreement that, in your example, you make 40, then 45, your lifetime earnings in that job are 85. And I think it's disingenuous to say you've been given a raise unless that scale is changed. If we do change the scale and say, okay, John, your performance says you're due 42.5 and 47.5, that's a raise.
Okay. All right. I think I understand that now. But to me and to most people, I think if you make more money from one year to the next, you got a raise.
You know, I think that's sort of a fair characterization, but let's look at the lifetime earnings of an educator. In Howard today, a teacher with a master's degree starts for a salary of less than $50,000. And the schedule today says in 30 years that person will earn $90,000. And it's a reasonable expectation on the part of the educator that over that period of time, they earn that total, which winds up being about $2.1 million. If they worked in Montgomery County for that same period, they'd earn $300,000 more. So when we talk about raises, we're talking about changes to that scale that improve the lifetime earnings of the educator.
But conversely, if they talk about Baltimore City or Prince George's County, you're going to be talking about a whole lot less over that span of time.
That's actually not true. In Prince George's County, educators out-earn Howard educators for the same span. And I don't have a comparison with Baltimore City in front of me, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's true there as well. Howard's educators are about the fifth best paid in the state among the locals affiliated with the NEA, behind Montgomery, Calvert, Prince George's.
Kind of to wrap this up, Paul, when do you think this might be resolved and this worked rule action, is it going to accomplish what you hope it does?
Yeah, we hope our job action is received by the community in the spirit it's intended, that we want to make sure people understand we're working to get better planning time and collaboration time and access to technology. What we're doing now is moving the negotiations to impasse procedures with the Public School Employee Labor Relations Board in Maryland. And that will allow us to have a professional mediator work with both parties in a limited period of time. After that, it would be binding arbitration. But our hope is to wrap negotiations by the start of the school year.
And what are the prospects that teachers may not show up in the classroom at the end of August and the start of the school year?
Absolutely zero. We don't think that a strike or any kind of not show up for work action is helpful to students and families, and we simply wouldn't go there.